this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
During this week, I was speaking to a couple of people that is unfortunately leaving us at the end of the year. People that's finished studying, Roland, Michael Christie, people that's Donna here, Dadia, a couple of people that's been in Pretoria for medical students 6 years. And now at the end of their 6 years, they're going, or wherever the government sends them, from Durban, from Boksburg, all over the place. And I was just really thinking, for everything in our lives, there is a season, there is a purpose, there is a time. But, people like Roland, who's leaving Pretoria. Now, how does it feel to actually leave Pretoria? You've been here for 6 years. Have you accomplished everything that God called you to accomplish in Pretoria? Were you actually fruitful while you were here? And now that you're leaving, are you excited about the next season? So that's what went on in my mind while I was preparing the sermon. So can I ask if you just all stand? I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes 3, from verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pick what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silent, a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war, a time of peace. Father, we just want to come glorify you, Father, that you are God over our lives. Now, Father, we just want to hear your voice, Father. We pray that you will come and speak to us, Father. Father, I pray that you'll anoint my lips, Father, to only speak your words, Father. And that everything else, Father, will fall away, Father. Father, we don't want diluted truth, Father. Father, we want your truth. So I just pray, Father, you come and open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, and just come and reveal to us, Father, your purpose, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the season that you're in right now? For many of us as students, if you're a student, you're in a time of sowing. You just sow seed. You just spend time, just work hard, and you actually pay to work hard. You don't get paid to work hard. Some of us that's already working, we're in a bit better position where we actually start to get money. Sometimes you're in a season of just sowing in a relationship, just spending time with someone. And some of us are actually in a reaping situation where you can buy the engagement ring. What is your season? What was God's plan for you for 2012? And did you walk in it? Did you accomplish it? Genesis 2, verse 28. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. There's different seasons in our lives, whether you want to fight it or not. Lives change, people change, circumstances change. There's different seasons. There are seasons when you actually, it doesn't matter what you plant, everything will die because it's winter. And there's seasons when it's spring, whatever you put in the ground just suddenly spring up. So what is the season that you're in? And for every season, there's a God purpose. Why did God bring you to Pretoria? Why did God bring you to tonight? What is God's plan? We so often get caught up in our own plans, our own ideas, our own desires. You go to TICS or to TUT, to catch a husband or catch a wife and not catch a degree. But what is God's plan? You know, not what is your plan, what is God's plan? We're in such a privileged position that there are so many places where we hear God's voice. You know, God speaking to us in our quiet times. You know, God directs us. You know, we're privileged enough to own a Bible, to actually be able to read the Bible without worrying that the police are going to knock down the door and throw us in prison. You know, we hear God's voice, we hear God's direction in Sunday services, in Bible school, in foundations. We hear God's voice in small groups. You know, there's so many places where we get input. But unfortunately, very rarely, that input gets transformed into action. You know that the last 2 weeks, Philip has really been speaking about, you know, getting back to the Word. Spending time in God's presence. It's not good enough to spend time, you know, 10 minutes here, 2 minutes there, you know, fit God into your program, but actually make an effort, schedule time that you're going to spend time with God. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of us actually took that word and it changed our lives? How many of us took that word and implemented it into our lives, and not just, you know, another cool message, but the message actually bear fruit. The message actually became life in us. I picked the habit of 702. I used to love 702, listen to it all the time, but then it's just so much junk on there. So now I'm back to my audio Bible in the Bucky. As you know, I stay quite far from Pretoria, so it's about a 40-minute drive. So you get through quite a lot of wood while you're driving. And just during the week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I actually came to Matthew 13. You know the parable of the sower? And it just really... You know, sometimes you just hear the word and it just flows, it just washes you. But sometimes it's just like, God is just like highlighting stuff. And this was one of those occasions. So I'm just quickly going to run through the parable of the sower. And then we'll break it down. So this farmer, he's got this field, he's sowing, most probably corn or something. And as he sows, some of the seed falls on the road. The birds come and eat it up. It's fruitless. There's no fruitfulness. He keeps on sowing. Some of the seed fall on places where it's stony, where it's rocky. Immediately the seed springs up. But because there's not enough soil, there's no place for the roots to go down, when the sun comes up and the heat comes down, the plant withers and dies. Not fruitful. Number three, some of the seed falls among thorns. The thorns spring up and smother the plant, so once again there's no fruit. And only number four, the seed that falls in good soil, it actually springs up and it brings forth 100-fold, 60-fold, 80-fold. Now, just practically, in natural, that is impossible. You don't plant one tomato plant and expect 180, 60 tomatoes to come up. You know, me and my little son, Daniel, we planted pumpkins 2 weeks ago. You know, now we've got four seeds. Now, I don't expect to get 60 potatoes from, 60 pumpkins from one plant. It's impossible. But with God, it's not. And then I kept on listening. And then at Matthew 13, verse 19, Jesus actually speaks to his disciples and he actually gives a very clear, verduidelike explanation. So we're just quickly going to run through this, and I just want you to open your hearts and just to listen to what Jesus actually said. So first, Matthew 13 verse 4, the seed that falls along the wayside, the birds come and pluck it up. So in Matthew 13 verse 19, we get the explanation. And it is written here that it is he who receives the word but do not understand. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away the word that was sown in his heart. You know why Philip always speaks about when you come to church, bring your pencil and bring your paper? It's so that you can write down what God is telling you. You know, if you just think of, this is a conversation between me, a man who maybe will live 80 years, and a creator of heaven and earth. We are confined by time. Time doesn't mean a thing to him. He's almighty. You know, it's like me speaking to an ant. God speaking to me. The communication gap isn't with God, it's with me. I do not always understand what God is telling me. So we need to write it down. We need to take that word, go back to God and say, God, okay, this is what you're saying, but what does it mean? We need to pray through it. We need to meditate through it. And when I say meditate, I don't mean go into this funny position and hum. Biblical meditation is about speaking. Biblical meditation is about constantly milling stuff around your mind and actually speaking to people about it. So when we don't understand, write it down. Take it to God and ask Him, God, I don't understand. Help me to understand so that I can become fruitful. So the devil won't just come and steal the word that you just told me, that you just shared in my heart, which is important because it's God speaking to you. Now, don't just allow the devil to come and steal that. Number two, the seed that falls among stony ground. It says the seed die because there's no depth of root. Once again with us, practically, it's when we receive the word, and the Bible actually says in Matthew 13 from 20 to 21 where the explanation is, it is people who receive the word with joy. You know, they take it, they make it their own. But it doesn't last long. As soon as tribulation and persecution comes, you know, they fade away. And isn't it the truth with us? You know, we'll do foundations and we'll get this great revelation of stewarding. You know, why do we pay tithe? Why do we give offerings? Why do we help people on the street? Simply because God is finance is a really bad master, but a good servant. So we need to break the hold that money has over us and actually, you know, pay the tithe, actually, you know, sow. So you go to your boss, you give the explanation, and he looks at you and say, so you actually give 10% of your salary away? You're a student, you don't earn anything, how can you give anything away? You know, and immediately we're on the back foot. What now? This is what the pastor said, or the cell leader said, but this is what the world says. And if you're not rooted in Christ, your roots only go down a bit. When the heat comes, you wither and you die. We need to be rooted in Christ. We need to make our decision based on what Christ is telling us and not the pressures of the world. Number three, the seed that falls among the thorns and is choked. It says here in Matthew 13, verse 22, these are ears of the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word and they're unfruitful. You know, there's so much worries in this world that it literally just becomes such a loud clutter in our head that we don't hear the word of God. We don't hear the voice of God. There's an amazing scripture in 1 Timothy 2 from verse 4. It says that he who is engaged in warfare is not entangled with the affairs of this life so that he can please the guy who enlisted him. We get so entangled with the cares of this life that we miss our purpose. We miss what God is telling us because we're so focused on, you know, we need to go to the gym and then we need to spend time with the boys and then we need to spend time with this friend and that friend and then we need to work overtime so that we can impress the boss and then we need to... So much stuff that can just be piled up upon us. And literally will choke us, literally just push us down. And also, the deceitfulness of riches. If you make a decision, you know, like where do you go and work? Now, if you've got two offers, which one do you take? Anybody? The one with the bigger salary. As Christians, what are we supposed to base our decision-making on? On money or on where God wants us? Do we go where we get the biggest paycheck and the best add-ons? Or do we go where we can have the biggest impact, make the biggest difference? You know, Roland, in a couple of days, he's going down to Durban. And he's doing his practicals and then his Zoom a year. And then he has to decide where he's actually going to take his skills, his ability to be a doctor. He's going to take it to a grand hospital that pays lots, or is he going to take it to someone that really needs a doctor? Somewhere where mice probably will get paid in maybe 2 chickens, somewhere in Africa. But the decision is ours. Do we make the decision based on, you know, the requirements that the world gives to us? You know, it needs to be close to good schools, it needs to be have the great salary, has the great status, you know, I work for this and that company. Or is it actually where God is leading you and telling you that you can make a huge impact here? You know, the world also tells us, I love, you know, these advert slogans, you know. You deserve it, or do it for yourself. You know, the world tries to convince you that with money, you know, you can buy love, you know, that X thing. Or with money, you can buy happiness. You know, if you just own this car, you'll have freedom. Or if you just, you know, have that kettle, you'll be never thirsty again. We laugh at it, but it's so true. The world tries to convince us that all we need is money. If you're not happy, just get money. Money can solve that problem. But the truth is, money cannot buy you real love. Money cannot buy you real friends. And money definitely can't buy happiness. And once again, no fruit. Number 4, the seed that actually falls among the good soil. People who hear the word, and then they bear fruit. On the one hand, they hear the word, but they understand what God is telling them. On the other hand, they're doing something with that word, and they're bearing fruit. They're accomplishing what God has set out for them to do. And as I said, you know, sadly enough, me included, I so many times hear God's voice, so many times get direction from God, but my actions isn't the same amount as the direction that I get. And I'm sure it's the same with you. And now I want to just bring it into the season that you're in right now. You know, what was God's purpose for you in 2012? Did you accomplish what God called you to do? You know, in the beginning of the year, example, God might have told you that you need to equip yourself now because end of the year you're going to a new church and you need that to support that church with, you know, facilitating foundations. So did you during the year equip yourself to actually facilitate foundations? Or, you know, in 2013 you're going on missions, so you must have done Bible school in 2012. What was God's design? Not your own design, not your own dreams. What was God's desire for 2012? Did you achieve that? I'm bad with maths right now. A month and a half left to fulfill that. You know, and the scary thing is, God's timing for you is right now. In 2013, if you have to get back to the stuff that you should have done in 2012, it's going to be harder. It's going to take more time, more effort. If we just walk in obedience, as God takes a step, we take a step. You know, if God is traveling at 110 k's an hour, we travel at 110 k's an hour. If God stops, we stop. We don't run ahead, we don't stay behind. We keep in step with what God is telling us and with what God is doing right now. And just think about 2013 that's around the corner. Have you ever asked God what is his purpose for the year? Does he want you to finish on studying? You know, it's not about trying to put more work on you. It's about getting to God and asking God what is his priority. And then being obedient to what God has called you. If God has called you just to focus on your studies, then that is what you do. If God has called you to take a year and serve at an orphanage, then that is what you do. Ask God what is his plans, what is his desire for the year ahead. And make sure that when the year starts, you are amped and you are ready. You know, you've rested and now you're ready to tackle this thing that God holds before you. As I said, there's times to seasons. You know, it doesn't matter how you wanna fight it. You know, if you go and you go plant mealies in June, you know what's going to happen? Very little. If you decide, it doesn't matter what happens, there's no winter in 2013. I'm not going to take out my blankets. I'm not going to take out my long sleeve shirts. There's no winter. you're going to freeze your nose off. The winter is coming. The fact is, are you going to listen to what God is telling you and equipping yourself for the season that's coming? Or not? Galatians 4, from verse 1 to 2. Just some background. It is actually Jesus they're speaking about here, but it was true about the culture as well. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from the slave. Though he is master over all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by his father. You can be the son of the property magnate in Israel. But as long as you're a child, you don't make your own decisions. You don't go where you want to go. You don't do what you want to do. You are under stewards. You are under guardians, people who look over you. Just like people who look under the slaves that are kids, the young slaves. But then there's a time that your father will come and see, but actually, you know, you're actually walking in obedience to the authority that he's placed over you. You know, he can trust you with the stewards and the guardians that's placed over you to look after you. You obey them, you walk with them, you do as they tell you. And then one day the father will come and say, okay, today you're a man. Normally happens when they're around about 13. We all know about the bar mitzvah or the Christian bar baraka. Now, the bar mitzvah is literally the father tells the son on his shoulders, walks through the town and tells, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Today he is a man. He will get a ring that literally will mean his authority. He will be able to make decisions on behalf of the family. He'll be able to, you know, do business deals and all kinds of stuff, but only once the father released him, not a second before that. And it's exactly the same with Jesus. If we read just Galatians 4, verse 4, just the verse below that. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is God himself. Do you just think when he was a little boy, he had to obey his mother and father? He couldn't have done just what he wanted to do. He had to walk in the season that God has given to him. The season of being a man, human child. And only once God released him, after he got baptized by John the Baptist, only then he started walking in the authority that he had. Only then he started being a man. And you know, that's such a cool thing about the Jewish culture. You don't have teenagers. You've got kids under 13, and you've got men above 13. So there's no teenage confusion. You're either a child or a man. You're not an in-between. Now, Jesus came to earth when everything and everyone was ready for him. When the time was ready, he came to earth. Not a day too late, not a day too early, exactly on time. This is such a reality check for me. You know, Joseph and Mary, they were blessed. They got the privilege to raise the Christ. You know, this was really amazing. You know what was one of the first things they had to do? Was run for their lives. They had to flee to Egypt. Because Queen Herodias wanted to kill him. You know, sometimes God's gifts to us might seem not that pleasant. The season we're going to might seem not that exciting or not that blessed. No, it's always blessed, but you get what I'm saying. You're being blessed with a child and then you literally just have to run because the king wants to kill you. There's a saying that God is more interested in your character than your comfort. And that's just so true that, you know, it's not about whether you're comfortable, but it's about whether you are being molded, formed into something that God can use. So you can actually go and read Matthew 1, verse 13, just where Jesus flees away. Well, Mary and Joseph flees away from the king. If you just think of the Old Testament, I was just sitting last night and just thinking, it's full of examples, you know? Joseph that gets sold into slavery by his own brothers, ends up in prison because he doesn't want to cheat, you know, sleep with his boss's wife. he goes through such trials, such tribulation. Think of somebody like Noah. You know, God comes to him and gives him this gigantic task. He has to build this huge ship. He has to take all these different animals on that ship. He's not a ship builder. He's not close to a dam. Well, I don't know how close, but he wasn't in water. And then when he starts building the thing, everybody around him starts laughing at him and saying, man, you've lost your mind. What the heck are you building? It wasn't comfortable, it wasn't nice, but what would have happened if he waited 20 days or 40 days before he started building the ship, the ark? Same with King David. He was anointed as king, but then he still had to hide in caves from King Saul, who was still sitting on the throne. And he had to surround himself by mercenaries and by criminals. He was running away from the king, so they came and joined, you know. They came and joined him. James 1, verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfected and completed, lacking nothing. These seasons that don't seem like fun, these seasons of equipping. You know, Joseph got equipped to actually be second in command in Egypt. He got equipped to actually, what would have happened if he escaped from prison or ran away as a slave? Who would have provided food for the Israelites to be? First Peter 1:6-7. Just speaking about the genuineness of your faith that produces honor and glory and worship to God. I really want you just to, that's just my paraphrase, go and read it. A great example is just Daniel. You know, my son Daniel, he's got the DVD, Daniel in Luke. But it just gives you a wake-up call that he was actually thrown into a den of lions because he worshipped God, because he prayed to God. You know, he was in a country, an ungodly country. He was appointed to be manager over the truthsayers and the magicians. You know, he was an ungodly country, had an ungodly job. And then the king brings out this decree that for 30 days, nobody shall worship anything or anyone except the king. And Daniel decided, well, he needs to worship God, so there's no way. So he went, prayed, and he got caught out. Being brought to the king, end of the story is he's thrown into the lion's den because he did not waver, because he stood strong. But the next day, the king rushes down to the lion's den, sees that Daniel is still fine. Daniel's faith brought the biggest ruler of that time to worship God. And that's exactly what our faith does as well. And when the world tells us, you know, your books doesn't make sense, you will be bankrupt if you pay your tithe, and you say, I have to. 2 months, 3 months later, your accountant will come to you and say, but man, what happened? Where did you get the money? I didn't get the money. God is faithful. Our walking in faith is a testimony of God's goodness. Our walking in faith brings God glory. Now, I just quickly want to run through four things that keeps us focused on what God's purpose is for the season. This is just my own. There's lots more that you can look at, but this is just my four, the four that I use constantly. Firstly, relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you want to know what is God's plans, want to know what the word means that God has given you, ask the Holy Spirit. 1 Chronicles 9:9-10. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches out all things, yes, the deep things of God. If you want to know that 2013, what God's plans are, you know, if something drops in your spirit and you know how to test it, whether it's from God or not? Most of the times, if it seems possible to you, it might not be from God. The word says that it hasn't even entered into our hearts, the things that God has prepared for us. We haven't even thought about it. We haven't even seen it. What God has for us is so much bigger than we can imagine, than we can even dream of. But through the Holy Spirit, He has revealed it to us. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is such a cool scripture. It speaks about, you know, it's not just good enough to spend time with the Holy Spirit and get the download. We need to walk it out. The seed that is sown needs to be fruit. It needs to be turned into action. You know, yes, it's great that we get the word from God, but we get the word from God so that we can go and practice, so we can go and carry it out, so we can go and it can have a change in our lives, have a change in our campus, have a change where we stay. Secondly, ask for God's grace. Now, grace is not forgiveness. Grace is the power to overcome. You know, if you struggle with sin, if you ask God for His grace, it's not God forgive me, but it's God give me the grace to overcome. This is a huge stumbling block in my life, but I need the grace to overcome. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul speaking here. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Who here has a dream that is bigger than he can even that he can ever think is possible? Who here has a dream that seems so impossible, so far away that he can never achieve it? You know, the good news there is, once you get into the point where you say, "God, I cannot, but I give it to you, you can." You know, you open the door for God's power to come and rest on that area. You all know that I struggle with dyslexia. Dyslexia, whatever. That is my weakness. You know, 4 years ago, if Heinrich told me to go and teach foundations, you know, which is 15 minutes, I would memorize every scripture in the whole book. Because I was so afraid of reading in front of people. I was so afraid. You know, that is my weakness. And for so long, that kept me from the destiny that God had for me. But the moment you open the door and say, "God, I cannot, but you can. Give me grace to overcome." He opens the door and He floods in. And as Paul says here, "You'll rather boast in His weakness so that the power of Christ may come and rest upon Him." Rather boast in the fact that you know that you are never going to get that degree in architecture or engineering if it's depending on you. But you know the God who can bridge the gap. You know the God who can take you further. You know, running that business one day is impossible. But God can. Number three. Believe. Don't struggle against the dreams that God has given you. Believe. Read in Romans 4:19-21, just about Abram. "And not being weakened in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced what He has promised, He is able to perform." There was no doubt in Abram's mind that the God who said he will have a son is the God who can give him a son. He didn't think about his own being old, being unable to have kids, or his wife is just a little bit younger than himself, who also is too old to have kids. He gave glory to God and said, "If this is what God's will is, if this is what God's plan is, I'm running in this. God, thank you that you are going to give me a son. She's not pregnant yet, but thank you that your word, I can bank on your word." Can I get an amen, please? And just lastly, surrender into the season. Don't fight it. You know, after so many years, when I was a little boy, I dreamt of becoming a dominie. That was really, you know, something that, but I hid it so far away and just like never, you know, it's impossible, I cannot. And for so many years, I actually fought against it. But God's grace is enough. You know, just take a look at the Israelites. When they came out of Egypt, they saw God's amazing miracles. They saw the whole Egyptian army being wiped out with one wave. They saw the cloud by day. They saw the fiery cloud by night. They saw God's provision. They saw God, you know, wherever they go, they were just surrounded by miracles. And then they come to Canaan, the promised land. They decide, okay, let's not be dumb. Let's send in 12 spies to go and see the land. Go see if this, where the trouble is and how the cities look, how fortified they are, you know, how the soldiers look. And the 12 spies come back. This is still unbelievable. You know, the two of the men carried levitros, grape, bunch of grapes. It was so big that two men had to carry it. That land was so blessed. But there was a catch. There was giants. There was big guys, and they say, you know, we looked like insects there. And you know what happened? The journey that should have not taken them more than 30 days turned into 40 years. God wiped the whole generation that said, no, we cannot. And he built up a generation for himself that said, yes, we can. So when God puts a promise before you, when God put a season before you, don't fight the season. Give in to God. You know, it's a good place to be at. God, I can't. It looks impossible. There's giants. You look like so small. They like so big. But you can. And also, if you all stand. Now, I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know, you know, what lies ahead in 2013. I don't know if you're still studying or whether you're already working. But the one thing I know is that we will all go through difficult seasons. We all go through seasons where we are stretched. We'll all be at the point where we reach our limits. And that's the best place to be at, because from there, step into God's territory. You know, when you have nothing to give, you know, you allow God to come in. And also, if we close our eyes. Father, we just want to thank you for this word, Father. And Father, our heart's desire, Father, is really for you to come and share with us what is on your heart. That you will show to us, Father, where you want us to go, Father. Where you want us to take ground, Father. Whether it's our neighborhoods, whether it's our workplace, whether it's the place where we study, whether it's our families. Our heart is really just to walk in that which you have for us. To walk in the season that you have for us. And Father, we just lay down our own dreams and our own desires, and I pray that you come and amplify, just turn up, Father, the dreams that you've placed in our hearts already, Father. Father, the things that we are so afraid of, the things that are so big that we're just pushing in the background. Just constantly want to get out of the way because it seems impossible and we don't want to waste our time dreaming about it. Father, thank you that you are bigger than any stumbling block. You are bigger than any need, anything that can prevent us. But you are God Almighty, Father, and we are yours. And Father, we are willing, Father, have your way in our lives, Father. Show us where you want us to go, Father. And then give us the grace, Father, to step up and go for it. Help us to keep in step with you, Father, every step of the way, Father. We will not be a millisecond behind, Father, but we will be in step with you, Father. Knowing what is your timing, knowing what is your desire for this evening. As I was preparing, I really felt God just telling me that there's so many of us that just needs to respond to this word. There's so many of us that has these big dreams and think it is impossible. And we just need to come to the front and just give it to God, saying, God, this is too big for me, but I know it comes from you. There are a couple of us who don't know what 2013 holds. It just seems so far away, and it just seems like, you know, money for studies, there isn't a place to stay, there isn't. There's just all these challenges, but I know that, you know, God has given it into your heart to study, or God has given it into your heart to go somewhere. If there's all these stumbling blocks, all these barriers in front of you, and you know that God's dream is on the other side of the barriers, I want you to respond to come to the front, that we can pray with you, stand in faith with you, that God will remove. God will take you over. God will take you through those stumbling blocks.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is